Very good. I never get such great introductions. Great. If I were to do this, would you know what I was talking about? No, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, what is this? My hands are crossed over there. Over there. So what is that? Yaakov, keep going. Yosef, keep going. Okay, good. Very good. Okay, good. We can go now. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that whole scene, because that scene is a prominent scene in this week's Parsha, and it's very weird. Now, one thing about reading Parshat HaShavuot, taking a look at, you have the handout in front of you? One thing about reading or listening to Parshat HaShavuot is often we first encounter it when the Baal Kriya is reading, and somebody got an Aliyah, Shabbat morning, and we don't really have time to think about what's going on, we're just trying to follow the story. So I'm going to take a little time now in advance, a couple days in advance, to think about what's going on. Look at the story, and you're going to find a lot of weirdnesses here. Background. Where is this story taking place? Take a look. You got a whole chapter, Breishit Memchet, right in front of you. Where is this story taking place? Geography. What country?
Egypt.
What?
Egypt.
It's taking place in Egypt, correct. Yaakov, who's in this scene? How many people are in this scene?
Three.
How many people are in this scene?
Four.
Four. Who are the four? Yaakov, Yosef, Ephraim and Asher. Good, Asher and Ephraim. I'm glad you said it that way, and I'll switch it. Good. Ephraim and Asher. Good. All right. Those are the four who are there. Let's follow the story through. Just going to read it. That's all we're going to do is read it and ask questions along the way. You got questions? Throw them out. Don't raise your hand. Just yell them out. Vahi al charei advarim ha'ele, which means after these words. Now, by the way, what you always have to do when you see a phrase like that, look at the previous words to see what's the connection. I didn't let you see it. So I'm going to have to tell you. In the previous piece, we heard that Yaakov called Yosef to his bedside and said, I want you to take an oath that you will not bury me here in San Diego. Sorry, here in Egypt. Rather, back in Canaan, back in Hebron. Okay. Now, after those words, what happens? Vayomer li Yosef. What's wrong with that phrase? Vayomer li Yosef. Look at it.
They said to Yosef.
What?
Said to Yosef.
Yeah, who said to Yosef?
Who said
to Yosef? I don't know. Somebody said to Yosef. Kind of mystery. So remember, we said there's four people in the scene. There's some ghost characters here. In LA, we call them extras. Right? Extras. Vayomer li Yosef, hinei avicha chole. What's the word to Yosef? Behold, your father is?
Sick.
Okay. When your father is 147, I don't know how many of you guys have fathers who are 147. My kids think that I'm 147. Anyhow, if you have a father who's 147 and then you're told he's sick, this is not a good thing. This probably means 148. Probably not. Don't get that many candles ready. Vayikach et shnei vanavimo. What does Yosef do? He takes
his two sons.
Now, who are his two sons? Did we already meet them? Yeah, well, you didn't. I did. And you probably did also. When Yosef marries Asenat and they have two kids, in the names of Ephraim and Asher. We met them, Ephraim and Asher. We already know them. So if we already know them, this pasuk is a little bit strange. Vayikach et shnei vanavimo et Menashev et Ephraim. What's weird about this pasuk? What's extra here? What's unnecessary? Their names. We already know. Either say takes Menashe and Ephraim or say he takes his sons. We don't need both. I went to speak at the high school, at the Yeshiva High School in San Diego. I spoke at Sky High. There's something extra there. Say one or the other. Okay. Vayagev Yaakov. By the way, is there another Yeshiva High School in San Diego? No. Okay.
Yeah.
There is? Ooh, I just started a brouhaha.
What do you think
you
little girls
do? Okay. If there is, then you understand why I had to say it. Because I had to tell you which one I went to. But if there isn't, there's no need to repeat it. We know Yosef only has two kids.
Maybe
he has more kids. Please prove to me from the pasuk that he doesn't have more kids. What does it say? Vayikachet, look at it. Shnei vanav. What does shnei vanav mean? His two sons. Which tells you?
What if he has a girl?
They have girls. But it's not his sons. You are aware of the difference. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Okay. Vayaged li Yaakov. And again, what's the problem? Vayaged li Yaakov. He told Yaakov. Who's he? Same problem. So we got all sorts of chatterers here that aren't mentioned. Vayaged li Yaakov. Vayomer hinei vincha Yosef ba'alecha. What does this unnamed person, this anonymous, mysterious person say? Hinei vincha Yosef ba'alecha. Now, again, what problem do we have? Bincha Yosef ba'alecha. Please tell me, what word could I cut out from that and I would still have all the same meaning? Bincha. Is there some other Yosef hanging around? Joe, your son is coming. Sorry, Joey, your son is coming. You don't say your son. There seems to be a lot of extra leon here. Now, why am I bothered by extra leon? What is the general rule of the Torah? The Torah is economic with its words. Very stingy with its words. Uses extra words. There's something else going on. Let's see if we can discover it. By the way, what else did you notice right away? Kind of strange. In that phrase, Vayitchazek Yisrael Vayeshev Al HaMita, without me translating it, what do you notice strange? So what? Okay, so he's lying on his bed, and then when he hears it, he gives himself energy and he sits up. Who sits up?
Yisrael.
Thank you. So we're switching back and forth. Yaakov, Yisrael, who the heck are you? And by the way, nobody that I have seen has been able to present a cogent, a coherent, a reasonable explanation for when we call him Yaakov, when we call him Yisrael. It just, there's no rhyme or reason. But the names switch here. Yaakov hears that Yosef's coming and Yisrael suddenly sits up. It's almost like there's another guy there. Yeah.
Don't we call him Yaakov and Yisrael supernatural due to the meaning of his name?
You would think so. And everybody who's thrown up a theory like that has said it's when this and this, it all gets shot down. Right? I'd much rather say, I don't know, than to present something that's, you know, trying to slip it past you. We don't know. If any of you guys have a theory about it, I'd love to hear it. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef. Here we go. El Shaddai Nirai Lai Baluz Beretz Canaan. Now, what's the first thing? Yaakov is on his deathbed. And Yosef comes to him. First of all, Yosef comes to him, and who does Yosef bring with him? Which is a little bit odd. Who told you to bring your sons? We'll talk about that. But what's the first thing? What would you expect the first thing Yaakov should say to his favorite son Yosef when he is now on his deathbed, he's about to die? What would you expect him to say? What?
Hello.
No.
Come here, let me give you a bracha.
Yeah.
I feel bad about, you know, all the years we weren't together. Something. Instead, what's the first thing he says? El Shaddai Nira Eli. Beluz, Be'eretz Canaan. Hashem appeared to me in Luz. Luz is another name, is the original name of Beit El. Vayivarech Oti. And he blessed me, which is just so weird. Why is that the first thing you're saying to Yosef? And watch, everything he says goes like this. There doesn't seem to be a chain of reason in what he says. Vayomer Eli, what did God say to me? Oh, let's look at these words carefully because they're in red. They must be important. I am going to do what? What did God promise me he's going to do with me? Mafracha uvihir biticha is another form of the two words that Hashem said to Adam when he created him. What was Hashem's command to Adam when he created him? Pur uvu. What does that mean? Be fruitful, multiply. I have a lot of kids. I'm going to make you fruitful and multiply you. I'm going to turn you into a kahal amim. What are amim?
Nations.
Maybe. They might mean something else. What's a kahal? What's a congregation of nations? Please don't say UN. What's a congregation of nations? What's a congregation? What? Good. Why are you a congregation? Why? Because? Gather together for what?
Share a common idea.
Good. Give me the other. By the way, the Greek word here, the Greek translation here is synagoga.
Ah.
That's where the word comes from, right? Congregation, gathering together. A gathering together of nations. It's kind of a weird thing. And why is he telling Yosef that? And why now? What else did God tell me there? I'm going to turn you into a community of nations, or a community of amim, and I'm going to give you and your kids this land. Okay, obviously not Egypt, the land where he told me that. Now, what's the next word? What's the first word in Pasuk Hei? Ve'ata. What does ve'ata mean? Well, then I am. And now, what does ve'ata always signal? Whenever you're talking, and in the middle of talking, you say, and now, what are you shifting from, and what are you shifting to?
Past the present.
What?
Past the present.
Past the present. Keep going. Excellent. Keep going. What else?
What you're going to do. Like,
what you're going to do, and what's the part before?
What you did,
and so therefore, what's the connector? What? Okay, I want you to think a little bit in the following terms. Let me give you an example. God took us out of Mitzrayim. God did all these great things for me. V'ata, madrei lecha shomei mach, Moshe says, and now all God wants of you is this. Cause and effect. Reason and result. But now, what's the connection? God blessed me and told me, I'm going to turn you into a kahal amim and give you this land. And now, so we expect now to hear something that results from that. What does he turn to do, which is now really not connected? It is a, does anybody know what comes after the word non?
Non-sequitur.
Very good. Very good. Okay, that's a non-sequitur joke. All right, now, v'ata. Shnei vanecha noladim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bo elecha Mitzrayim alihem. Yaakov turns to Yosef and says, Shnei vanecha, your two sons, hanoladim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim, who were born where? Before I got here. Lihem. They are now mine. I'm taking them. Ephraim u'menashe kiruvim v'shimon yuli. What does that mean? From and Asher, now like we're from Shimon, which means, by the way, how many sons do I now have? 14 or 13. Why would I say 14? Because Reuben, Shimon, Asher, Ephraim, 14. Or I could say 13 because I might skip whom? Yosef. I might say, instead of Yosef, I now have two. All right, but either way, Menashe and Ephraim get promoted. Well, in the world of flying, we call it upgrade. They got upgraded to sons from grandsons, which is a pretty weird thing. And by the way, it's impossible. You cannot turn a grandson into a son. But Yaakov does it anyways. He says, Menashe and Ephraim are now my sons. Why? What kind of weird thing is that? I want my grandsons to be my sons. And then he says, "Umolatcha sholat acharem l'chayiyu." Any kids who were born after that, they're yours. Alshem achem yikaru b'nachatam. They'll be either called Menashe or Ephraim. They'll belong to those families. I'm splitting you into two, Yosef. You're now Menashe and Ephraim. Now, the conventional explanation of what Yaakov is doing here is he is turning Yosef into the bechor. How many portions does a bechor get in inheritance? Double. So I'm going to turn Yosef into a chor by giving him a double portion. Now, Menashe has a portion, Ephraim has a portion. Beautiful. Except, I don't have to turn Menashe and Ephraim to my sons to do that. Plus, what does this have to do with anything that was said before? And then it continues to get weird. So we say, it gets weirder. Va'ani bevo'imi Padan, and by the way, on my way back from Lavan, from Padan, Padan is up in Syria, Meta alai Rachel, your mom, Rachel, died suddenly. Be'eretz Kenan baderach ba'od kivrat eretz lavo Efrata. On the way towards Beit Lachem, towards Efrat perhaps, she died, ve'akbarasham baderach Efrati Beit Lachem. And I buried her there. And that, of course, is Kever Rachel. And where is Kever Rachel? Not so clear. But I buried her there on the road, Kever Rachel. Do you understand what I mean by zigzag? This conversation is going like this. All over the place. Vayar Yisrael b'nei Yosef vayomer me'ela. And now it gets even weirder. Yaakov sees the two boys, and who he just blessed. He just adopted, right? By name. Menashe and Ephraim. He looks at them and he says, "By who are these guys?" Sounds kind of weird. He is just adopted by name. Menashe and Ephraim, you two guys are my sons. And then he turns around and says, "By the way, Yosef, who are these guys?" Strange. And what does Yosef answer with equanimity? Vayomer Yosef Aviv, Banai Hem, Hashem Atzal Elohim Bazet. They're my sons that God gave me here in this country. Vayomar, Kachem Nailai Vavarachem. Okay, bring him here. I want to give him a bracha. Now, let's just step back a second and be real about this. You can never, there's a parenthesis, but important parenthesis. You can never understand Tanakh unless you understand the world of Tanakh. And that means, first of all, you got to go into the story and be in the story. You got to be real. You got to look around and see the story. By the way, it's true about Gemara, it's true about Shakespeare, it's true about Rousseau. You can never understand anything unless you put yourself into that time period, into that context, see what's going on. How much more so Torah? Be in the story. Let's ask the question, how old is Yaakov at this point? He's about to die. 147, very good. Is 147 spring chicken, middle-aged, or really old? Really old, thank you, okay. In the meantime, how old are Menashe and Ephraim at this time? So let's do a little math. Let's do a little math. When were Menashe and Ephraim born? During the time Yosef was in prison, during the time that Yosef had come to Paro and there were now 7 good years, during the 7 bad years or later? Anybody? Beterem tavo shnat ha'ra'av. Asenat gave Yosef 2 sons before the famine started. Which means they were born during the first 7 years, right? Now, how old was Yaakov when he came down to Egypt? Remember, Paro said, "Hey, how old are you?" He was 130. 130. Yaakov was 130 when he came down. Which means how many years ago did he come down to Egypt? 17. Very good. We're holding the math. Excellent. Okay? He's 17 years ago he came down to Egypt. Menashe and Ephraim already were born. And so Menashe and Ephraim at that point were at least 2 years old because the famine was already 2 years in. So let's be real conservative and we'll say they're 20. They're probably older, but let's say they're 20. Menashe and Ephraim are around 20, 20, 21, 19, like that. I want you to picture 2 guys around 20 or 19 and a guy, 147.
I can't even picture 147 years.
Huh?
I can't even picture 147 years.
Good. So take, however, what's the oldest you can picture? 95? Can you picture 95?
Yeah.
Give me a 95. Good. Just keep it at 95. That's going to be fine. Okay? Whatever you got, 95, it'll be fine. I got a 95-year-old guy, and I got a couple guys who are young adults. Okay? Now, watch what happens here, and you'll see how bizarre it is. V'nei Yisrael kavdu mizoken lo yuchal lirot. Yaakov is old. He can't see. His eyes are bad. He brings the boys close and kisses them. He hugs them. And which reminds us of what scene, by the way. He brings somebody close to give him a bracha. He gives him a hug and a kiss. Who is it? It's like Esav Yaakov, that whole scene. Very good. Okay. Vayomer Yisrael Yosef for ofanecha lo filalti v'ner oti Elohim gam etzarecha. Okay, so he says, I thought I wasn't going to see you because I thought you were dead. In the meantime, I even get to see your kids. Right? Yaakov thought Yosef was dead all those years. It's a strange thing for him to be saying all these years later. But anyhow, vayotze Yosef otam mi imirkav. And now we find out, where are these 2 20-year-old guys standing, sitting? What are birkaim? Your knees. They're sitting on the knees of a 147-year-old guy. You have a little problem with that? Thank you, 95-year-old guy. 95-year-old guy has a couple of 20-year-olds sitting on his knees. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, no.
Thank you. Okay, good. I was waiting for the right answer. That's crazy. Okay? It's really nuts. Okay? So we got a lot of weird zigzags going on in this story. All right. Now the famous scene. Vayotze Yosef otamim merkav vayishtachol apavartza. Yosef brings them away, bows down, and then vayikach Yosef et shneihem and Ephraim b'Manasseh small Yisrael, Hashem Yisroelom b'Manasseh Yisrael vayigesh elav. And Yosef brings the boys close again. Wait a second. You just pulled them away. Why are you bringing them close again? And now he brings them close, and I want you to be the mirror. Do the mirror thing. Yosef puts the older son on what side of him?
Right.
Left, because if I'm facing you, my left is your
right.
Put out your hand. Put out your hand. Okay, which hand is that?
That's my right.
It's your right. My left is your right. So I want you to put your right hand on this kid. I'm going to put it in my left hand, right? Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. You could do this and you could really bust the whole room. It's great. Okay? So he puts Menashe over here and Ephraim over here to bring the Yaakov. So Yaakov will go like this because he wants Yaakov's right hand to be on Menashe's head. All right? Why? We're gonna actually look at that. All right? So he brings them away. Then he brings them back. This whole weird. Vayishtach Yisrael yimino vayashal Rosh Ephraim v'at Seir. And Yaakov famously does what? How do we start the shiur? Show with your hands. What do you do? Right? Okay? And so now, my right hand is going on the guy on your right. And my left hand is going on the guy on your left. In other words, I'm putting my right hand on the guy you wanted me to put my left hand on. That's the scene. Okay? And now what does he say? Sikeld yadav kimen asher bachar. Vayivarech et Yosef vayomar. Who does Yaakov bless now? Not Menashe Ephraim. Who does he bless? Yosef. And he says, Hayelohim asher itachu avotai lefanav Avraham b'Yitzchak. The God whom my ancestors worshipped. Hayelohim aroti miyodi ad hayom hazeh. He has been with me since I was born. Hamalach ha-goel, don't go to sleep. Hamalach ha-goel oti mikol ra. And don't start singing, please. Yivarech etan ne'arim. What does he ask? He says, I want the Malach who has redeemed me from all bad to do what? Yivarech etan ne'arim. To do what? Bless the boys. V'ikarev v'hem shmi v'shem avotam ram tzchak. I want them to be known by my name and my father's and my grandfather's name. I want them to be known as the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. All right? That's what he's saying. V'yidgul arov b'kerav arts. And they should multiply throughout the land. Now, Vayar Yosef, ki ashit aviv yad yimino al Rosh Ephraim, Yosef saw this hand switch, Vayera Beinav, he didn't like it. Vayitmoch yad aviv, he takes his father's hand, and what does he do? La siro tam, mi al Rosh Ephraim, al Rosh Menashe. He wants to move it. Vayomer Yosef al aviv, lo chen aviv, what does Yosef say to his father? Dad, wrong. Kizeh ha-bechor. He points to Menashe and says, this one's the Bechor. Simi mincha rosho. Put your right hand on his head. Do you know of any other place where being a Bechor got you a special bracha?
Yes.
What? What's the scene?
Egypt?
No. A man with
who?
Hair on his hand.
Who am I? Huh? Oh, what's my name, by the way? What's my name? Yeah. Yitzchak. Oh, he sounds like Yaakov, feels like Esau. Okay, another scene. All right, and again, hugging and kissing, and again, the Bechor gets the bracha. Yosef says, he's the Bechor. Put your right hand. I want the real bracha to be on him. For some reason, the right hand's the real bracha. I don't know why. Yaakov says, hey, Joey, I get it. I'm not thief. And I'm not out of my mind. I just can't see very well. But I know who the Bechor is. And I know that. Don't worry, Menashe is going to be fine. But his younger brother is going to be greater than he is. So what? He's still not the Bechor. And what's the big bracha of Ephraim? His seed is going to fill the nations. Is that a good thing? Sounds like a lot of assimilation to me. What does that mean?
Well, the nations, they already said there's multiple
So what?
At the beginning it says you can be a
Ooh, very good. Shkoyach. Very good. We're going to come back to that. Now Yaakov blesses the boys. Before he blessed Joseph, now he blesses the boys. What's his blessing for the boys? You're going to now see the oldest continuous Jewish custom in history. The oldest minhag we have in history in front of your eyes. How many of you at home Friday night get a bracha from parents? I'm a giver in our house. Right. Here it is. Starts right here in Bereishit. Okay. You know how Jewish people are going to bless their kids? What are they going to say to them? Yisimcha Elohim ke'efrayim v'chim nasheh. Now, I want you to understand how mind-boggling this is. What's your name?
Jordan.
Jordan. I want you to picture if someone were to say, that from now on, everybody's going to say to the kids, oh, I hope that you grow up to be like Jordan. What is that to you? That is like, wow! Now, Yaakov says, I'm going to bless you, that everybody's always going to say, God should make you like Ephraim Menashe. That means Ephraim Menashe are top of the world. This is what I tell my kids. Somewhere between Thursday night and Friday afternoon, when I get them on the phone in Israel, New York, wherever they are, Bracha Yisimcha Elohim Ephraim Mechim Nashe. So my daughter, we got a different thing. Right? Ephraim Menashe, alive in our house every Friday night, every Friday. Wow, what a bracha. Vayasim et Ephraim Ephraim Menashe. And by the way, who did he put first in the bracha? Ephraim, the younger. Okay. And by the way, we have zigged and zagged. We're going to put us all together right now. Because that's going to make sense. What I've done over the past, let's call it about half an hour, is to lay out all the roadblocks. Lay out all the difficulties we have in this, but I'm not gonna walk away without trying to make it make sense. I don't want you guys to lose sleep tonight. And now Yaakov turns to Yosef and says, I'm about to die. And God's going to take you back to your land. Again, a zig, a zag, and we don't know where this is coming from. And I gave you one Shechem. That either means the city of Shechem or a portion. I gave you an extra portion over your brothers. That I myself conquered from the Canaanim with my weapons, my sword and my bow. Did Yaakov ever fight with weapons that we heard of? Did he ever conquer land in Israel with weapons? What happened when his sons conquered land in Israel with weapons? How did he react? He got very mad, and in the next parak, he's going to throw those two sons almost out of the family. It's just a very weird thing for Yaakov to say. What is motivating this entire scene? Question one, adopting two grandsons as sons. Question two, insisting that Ephraim is more important because he's going to be greater and his seed are going to fill the nations. What does that mean? What is the connection between what God blessed him and Luz and adopting the kids and then at the end saying, and God will take you back to the land and I took it with my sword and bow. What is going on? So I could list all the questions. We've already gone through them. Let's try to figure out some answers. Please turn the page a second. Yaakov stole a bracha. You all know that, right? What did Yaakov have to do after he stole the bracha to save his life? He had to run away. Who did he run away to? Lavan. And he's lived in Lavan's house for X amount of years. Maybe, but in Tanakh, no. Right? He runs away to Lavan. He's in Lavan's house for X amount of years, however long it is. He comes back. Now, before he left, on the way out, the first night, he camped out outside of a city called Luz. He didn't go in because he didn't want to be a loser. So he camped out outside. And he had a vision. You know the vision he had? Right? And Hashem promised him what Hashem promised him. And he woke up the next morning and he took the rock that he'd slept on and he raised it up as a matzeva and he said, I'm making a commitment that when God brings me back to the land, I'm going to make a mikdash here. I'm going to make this a Beit Elohim. All those years later, after going to Lavan and working for 7 years for Rachel, oops, Leah, and then Rachel, and then 7 more years, and then Yosef, and then 6 more years, and all of that stuff, and finally hightailing it out when Lavan's not looking, and coming back, and getting, and then Lavan catches up with him and all of those problems, and then Esav's coming, and oh my gosh, in the middle of the night, he has a WWF. WWE. And then Shechem. And what happens in Shechem? Finally, he starts moving south back towards Hebron, and he stops in Beit El to fulfill that commitment. And Hashem appears to him in Beit El and gives him a bracha. Let's see what he says. Vayirai Elohim el Yaakov, od bevom and padan aram. God appeared to him twice in Beit El here. Vayivarachoto. Vayomer lo Elohim shimcha Yaakov. The first thing God says to him is, your name is Yaakov. Not exactly. Lo yikara shimcha od Yaakov. You're not no longer going to be called, I'm going to add something in here, only Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael yashmecha. You will also be known as Yisrael. That comes obvious because God himself calls him Yaakov after this. Vayikra shmo Yisrael. I'm naming you Yisrael. Basically, he has a middle name. Yaakov Yisrael. Yisrael Yaakov. Vayomer Elohim, ani El Shaddai. Did you remember that from the first page? He said, El Shaddai Nirai Elai Beluz Kunberet Kanan. That special name of God that only shows up really in Bereshit, Yeshayahu, and Iyov, and once in Bamidbar. Very rare name of God, but that's the name that's used here, and that's the one Yaakov mentions. Pray Urve. What is pray Urve? Be fruitful, multiply. Goy ukahal goyim hiyem mimecha. You will have a what? A goy, meaning nation. Ukahal goyim. What's a kahal goyim? Congregation of nations. Hiyem mimecha is going to be from you. Umelachim echalatzecha yetzeu. By the way, how many sons does Yaakov have at this point in time? You ready? 11. Who's the only one not born yet? Binyamin. And God says, you're going to have kings come from you. By the way, who's the first king in Israel? What's his name? Shaul. What Shevet is he from? Binyamin. Okay, here we go. And then he says, talk about your non sequitur. God says, I'm going to turn you into a king, a community of nations. You're going to have kings from you, and I'm giving you the land. What do the two have to do with each other? So I'd like to suggest that Yaakov listens very carefully to this nevuah and makes the following calculation. God is not promising me two separate things. He's promising one thing, which is, you are going to be the sovereign in this land. I'm giving you the land as a holding. It'll be yours. Not to visit it, not to hang around it, not to leech off it, but to own it, to be in charge. And what am I going to give you in order to be able to do that? A kahal goyim. What does that mean? So Yaakov rereads it to Yosef as kahal amim. Let's talk about the word am for a second. What does the word am, ayin mem, mean? Nation, we all know it means nation, except that in Tanakh it usually means something else. It usually means army. Who's the first person to ever call us an am? The answer is Paro. Paro, we're going to hear it next week, says to his people, Hine am b'nei Yisrael, rav v'yatsumi menu, which simply means the army of these people is greater than ours. They're bigger, they're mightier than we are. We better do something about it. The whole concern there is a military concern. Read the Pasuk. Perak Aleph, Pasuk Yod. That's his concern. And Am, almost always, in the early part of Tanakh, means army. That's what Yaakov translates this to. So what does he say? Hashem has told me that I have to have a kahal goyim, a congregation of armies, in order to be able to conquer the land. What would you call a congregation of armies? We have such a thing, although it's not very effective today. What? The UN's not armies. What? NATO. What's NATO? It is an agreement between a bunch of nations to each provide a certain amount of soldiers for things they agree to do. It's a treaty organization, no North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Yaakov is told you're going to have a kal goyim, meaning you're going to have a gathering of nations that are going to work together to conquer the land. Okay. So Yaakov takes a look at it and says, how many nations do I have among my children? What's the answer? You could say 12. Give me a smaller number. Okay. Except I want a congregation of nations, a community of nations. I'm going to give you another number. Why four? Good. So now I'm going to change the four to two. Please tell me why they're two.
Technically, they're subordinates of Rachel and Leah.
Right. And by the way, realistically, sorry to say this, it's politically very incorrect. But realistically speaking, are Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher treated equally with the other brothers? They're not. They're B'nai Ashfachot. So how many households are there in Yaakov's family? Who are they? Leah and Rachel.
So the
other four are going to be like spear carriers. Be the assistants. Let's think about it. By the time that Yaakov gets to his deathbed, to this scene, what have Leah's kids done to prove their worth or their lack of worth as leaders? Let's start from the top. How about Reuven? What has Reuven done from the time he was born until now that may tell us he should be a leader or shouldn't be a leader? Tried to, didn't do a good job of it. Yeah? Tried to get Binyamin down in Egypt, that didn't work either. Tried a bunch of things, didn't work. What's the big thing he did that might tell us something? Yeah. Whatever happened with Bilhah, however we read it, it was not good. He almost got thrown out of the family as a result. And what do we find out in the very next parsha when Yaakov calls his sons together, which we're going to learn about tonight? What does Yaakov say to Reuven? You fired. You fired. You blew it. Okay, who else is in Leah's family besides Reuven? Shimon and Levi. I'm going to say them together because what happens to Shimon and Levi? Why? Shechem? Okay, so Reuven and Shimon and Levi are out. How many are left? Leah's. Yehuda? There we go, three. Perfect. I got three members of Leah's family who could be leaders. Very good. How many do I have in Rachel's family? Yosef Minyamin. But God told me I have to have a kal goyim, so I have to have parity. So what does he do? He splits Yosef in two. Please turn around and look at the map on the back page. What's that a map of? That's the map of the Jewish encampment in the desert. Please tell me, who's on the right side, which is east? Who's on the opposite side, on the west? That's your camp. That's your shnei goyim. That's your kal goyim. And who are the guys on the side, top and bottom? That's the support staff. Bill and Zilpah and Reuben and Shimon, right? Correct. That's support staff. Do you understand now what Yaakov's doing? Yaakov comes and the first thing he says to Yosef is, God told me Kahal Amin, so I'm adopting Menashe and Ephraim. I'm enlarging you into two people so that I can create a balanced army between the two households. And everything else that flows through here, it's not nearly as romantic and poetic. It's military strategy. It is exactly how it plays out. One little midrash to add in at the end. Chazal tell us, you know that at the end of this week's parasha, Yaakov actually dies, and this is a deathbed, actually dies, and there's the funeral cortege that marches him back to Israel. Chazal say that the funeral cortege, they march like this. Yehuda in front, Yisachar and Zvulun, Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin in the back, right, like that. In other words, they marched like this. This is a model of their marching in the desert. Yaakov is setting up the conquest of the land. So what does he say at the end? I'm giving you a portion that I took with my bow and my sword. Yaakov never fought with a bow and a sword, but what's he hinting to Yosef? You're going to have to go in and conquer the land militarily. And I'm setting you up, I'm setting the family up with two powerful armies that will work together because they'll balance each other. And the whole next parak is exactly establishing that, which is the shiur I'm going to give this evening. Okay. Thank you.